Okay, welcome everyone. This is Richard Legg. I want to thank you for taking the time to come here and be part of this Niche Domination Secrets course. With me today, I'm very pleased to introduce Mr. Eric Farewell. Eric, how are you doing?
Brother, I'm great, man.
Good, really great to have you here.
Nice to be here, nice to be here. Looks like we got a pretty good crew today.
Yep, people are coming in, and pretty much everyone who has registered had made it so far. So that's good to see. Okay, so let's get started. This is the Niche Domination Secrets course. So we're going to show you how you can build a profitable business in any kind of market that you want to choose, and how you can go about creating your business and dominating any particular niche you're looking for. So Eric is pretty much the authority on this, as far as I'm concerned. In my years online, he's one of the best that I've ever seen. So I'm delighted to have him on the call with us today. He's very, very generously given up his time. So Eric, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a bit about who you are, what you do?
Well, I'm a little concerned because last time we spoke, you told me that you had a couple of friends who wanted to listen in to our next coaching call, or next mentoring call, and I'm looking now, and all of a sudden, I see a webinar, and I see 18, 20, let's see. So how many people, I don't know, 80-something people or 70 people watching this? I don't know, it's ridiculous, man. What are you trying to do to me?
I'm sorry, but it's too good to pass up. Don't
well,
give me a chance
to, be here.
To pick your brain, so.
Hey, absolutely.
Make the most
glad
of it.
To be here. And I will tell everybody who's listening right now, I'm going to give away a little bit of Richard's secrets. This is his first ever live chat. So we're going to try to coach him through what to do, how to do it, as well as hopefully pry some of the weird information I have inside my brain out to the outside and see what we can do to help you guys build a real business as you asked for. And it really is an honor to be here with you. I am really stoked to be a part of this. And, you know, it's definitely a good crew of people that have joined in. I recognize some names. And, again, I'm honored to be here. So, Richard, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, man. I hope everybody can understand my crazy English / Irish accent. I'll try and go slow. And I know, Eric, you tend to speak pretty fast as well. But don't worry, we've got the recordings, so you can go back and watch this over and over.
You can always recap. I'll talk about three times as fast as you will, and you can keep the pace slow for the rest of us.
Yeah, I'll spend the next couple of days going through this, trying to pick out words. Give everybody a transcript or something. But I know you've got a lot of good information to share. And a short amount of time to do it. So, should we get started?
I say let's go to it. Is everybody ready for this? You guys keep using that question box. We love the, we love being a part of this. So talk to me. I don't do well without having feedback. You liking it so far? It's great. Don't lie. I know you think it's great. I can see it. All right,
okay.
Whatever. Go ahead and start it up. Not
All
even
right.
less. Not even. Nobody's talking to me. Here we go.
Okay, so this is going to be module one of the four-week training course. And I think what we really want to do with this one is kind of give you an overview of some of the ideas and some of the concepts that we're going to be sharing over the next few weeks so that you really, really get a good, strong foundation of what it's going to take to build your niche business from the ground up and do it the right way. So we'll just go through some of what we'll be covering in this module, or what Eric will be divulging. So, Eric, do you want to take it away?
You know, I will. I don't have the ability to change your slide, so I'll walk through it with you. You created these, and hopefully I can keep up, but I will say this to everybody. Richard is one of the most beautifully organized people I've ever seen, so he'll keep me on track, and hopefully that works for all of you. So, let's see here. Really quick to Daniel Falk. Daniel, we can definitely get you the slides as a PDF. You will have all the information you need as far as the recordings. They'll come as a video as well, so you should not have a single problem there. All right. Thank you, Richard, for helping me jump ahead here. That's awesome, dude. Well done. All right. Module one. This is module one, and I'm going to take a little while to get used to this and to slide back into teaching mode because I normally only work with one or two people at a time, so this will be fun for me. Bear with me. All right. Module one, core niche marketing principles. What we want to talk about today, really, above and beyond everything else, I wanted to introduce myself to you guys. I can go through a brief introduction, but I think by now you know who I am a bit, or else you probably would not have signed up to be a part of this. So I'll skip most of the introduction stuff as to who I am, what I've done, what I'm about. You guys probably have most of that down. But that stated, what today's primary goal, again, is just to walk through kind of more of an understanding of what you will be learning, not just who I am, not just what was going to be, you know, what I can toot horns or whatnot, but some of the core concepts and principles behind the business model I use and have used now for over 9 years, and why it works and how you can make it work for you. So moving forward, Richard, are you ready for this?
Yep, I'm ready. So first one.
Number one. Oh, back.
Okay.
We get through all these. These are all good points. I can walk through these.
Okay.
Niche marketing concepts. I'm certain everyone understands what a niche is, but just in case you're curious or wondering and you just decided to throw some money around and some ideas around and thought that Richard's copy was so amazing you had no idea how not to buy, I'll go ahead and walk through. Basic idea of a niche is I like to view it as the ocean, pool, and then a bowl, basically. You're going to take a marketplace, say it's sports, niche it down to golf, niche it down to senior golfers, niche it down to women senior golfers. That's the basic construct of a niche. Now everyone understands niche marketing concepts. So the goal is to find a market within a market that has value that you can then create a personality or use your own personality to offer a solution to that that market. You with me, Rich?
Yep, definitely. Do you want me to move ahead? Or are you going to go over your
idea? Again, because I haven't seen these slides, I'm going to try to walk through these as well as I can without taking too much time. Ideas for niche markets is crucial. Who here wants to hear about that? I got to have interaction here, guys. It's weird not to have it. So, Daniel, you've been Johnny on the spot over there. Do you have any thoughts? Do you want to learn how to find a niche market? And actually, really, if you guys don't mind, do me a quick favor. And I know it's a little odd, but I normally speak in front of on stage when I'm speaking at all. So go ahead and tell me. I'd have you raise your hands, but instead to say yes or no. Do you already have a niche business? Are you guys starting your first business? Are you looking to grow more businesses, or is this your first? Go ahead and give me some feedback. I got 19 people live with us right now, and I'd love to have some understanding of what it is that you guys want most. So I've got Les, no. James, no. He's new. Frank's looking to grow. Anybody else? John, Jit. Is it Jit or Jeet? I'm not sure. Michael, Petru, Pam. Excellent, guys. This is great. All right, so we've got good stuff here. The guidance have several ideas, want to start and grow. Daniel, we'll probably talk to you soon on one of these next calls. We're actually going to take apart a few different niche ideas so I can show you which ones are going to be the most profitable for you long term. Because we have 4 calls together, and luckily we actually have some time to be able to work through this because we have a very small group. It's not one of these 6,000 people or anything. So, Sally, we can talk about your idea as well. She has a metaphysics idea. We've got bunch of good people here. All right, so basic idea of niche markets. Let me go ahead and walk through some of the constructs that we usually struggle with, because when you're trying to find a good niche market, now obviously the goal is something profitable, right? So if we're looking for a market, you want to make sure that A, it makes you money. It's not a waste of your time. You're not spending lots of money, lots of time, lots of emotional investment, creating copy, creating products, all to end up not being profitable. And from stage, I tell a story, and Rich has heard this story, so pardon me, Richard, and a couple of you other ones may
okay.
have heard it as well.
It's a pretty good story, so I don't mind hearing it again.
The pumpkin one?
Yeah.
All right, so to give you an idea of kind of where I've been with this, I have launched in dozens upon dozens of markets. And initially, when I was first getting started in this business, I was 13 years old. I launched my first business online. I was about 16 when I launched my first info marketing business. So I was really, you know, I was kind of moving ahead. I'm 22 now, almost 23, and so I'm getting old and cranky, but I made a lot of mistakes. I figured out that a niche marketing idea, a principle, was a great concept. I heard Frank Kern speak back in 2001 or 2, something like that, and he was talking about his parrot book at the time, and how his parrot book and how to teach your parrot how to talk was just killing it, making all kinds of money. And I thought it was genius because he didn't know anything about parrots. He hated parrots. He was like, hey, parrots suck. The only thing I want to do with a parrot is eat it. So I of course, love the idea of not having to be connected or attached to something. I grew up in a ministry, so I grew up where everything you did
was basically all that mattered was you gave away your heart, your soul, your spirit, everything else about it. So creating a marketplace outside of my own knowledge had power to me. All right, so pardon my crazy ADD brain. You guys have to deal with this a lot. explaining a little bit better here, what I wanted to do then was find marketplaces that had, initially, my goal was to find marketplaces that had no competition, because I wanted to be the first, because I wanted to have one of those $50,000, $80,000, $200,000 a month ebook products, because there obviously there are those markets out there. I had friends in them. I had worked in them myself as a consultant, but I never launched my own. And what I found was over the dozens of launches I had done, the dozens of different markets I went into, it was so hit or
okay, Eric, you still there? Okay, it looks like Eric may have dropped off. See if we can get him back. His audio has dropped. But anyway, as Eric said, this is going to be kind of a just a breakdown into what niche marketing is, and we really, really want to get some feedback from you guys on what you actually want to achieve from this course. So at the end of this module, we'll be asking for you some questions from you, so you can tell us exactly what you want to learn from this course. I mean, Eric could spend probably days teaching you this stuff, but obviously we've got a limited amount of time, so we really want to know what the questions you are want to learn. So as he's talking, try and think about what you want to ask him, what you want to learn. And if you have a notepad and pen, try and jot down some ideas so you can ask some questions later on.
Okay, all right, I'm back. Okay. I am. Can you tell me where you lost me? I don't know why my internet died like that, but apparently it didn't like me. I apologize, guys.
You're in the middle of your story about wanting to have one of those profitable niche businesses in some kind of untapped market.
And I was saying something about having terrible success ratio, about 20 to 30% was average, you know, for me to actually find some reasonable level of success. And really, if you're any business you're going into, that's a joke. That's terrible. You need to have much higher success ratio than 20-30% because I don't know about you guys, but I really don't have, you know, enough time or money to throw away at market after market. So I kind of took a step back and I started looking to see what made these uber successful markets successful, and how I could take a piece of it versus trying to be the pioneer. And again, another story you've heard, Richard. You know, Richard doesn't know anything about this because he's not American, but I imagine many of you are, so I'll bring up some Americana for you. How many of you remember who the Donner Party is? You guys remember the Donner Party? Pioneers? Come on, James, you have to. Michael, John, one of you does. I'm certain of that. Here we go. We've got Kevin Hillett knows. Oh, Marilyn knows. We know who the Donner Party is. Donner Party, for those of you who don't remember high school history class, which I don't either. I dropped out. But regardless, for any of you that don't know your high school history, the Donner Party was a group, actually mainly a family, a large family, who were pioneers. And they went across the Sierras in the winter. And the pass was filled with snow, and it killed, I believe, all but two of them. And I like to tell people that those two, now mind you, this huge family goes across this pass with the goal of being pioneering, the goal of being the first, of making it across, of getting there in time. And two of them survived. That's MySpace and Facebook. The chances of having something that would be that ridiculous, something that would be that wild at the time, survive were very, very slim, because there have been dozens of other websites similar to MySpace and Facebook that failed, so they had certain indicators that worked. But I decided, why not ask the Indians about when the pass freezes over? Why not figure out what's already working? Why not figure out where the game paths are? Why not figure out where things are already making money, so I don't have to, you know, waste time and money and energy and hope? Because what it all comes down to, when you're starting this business and you're starting your first niche product, you're really going out there, chances are it's something you care about. It's a market you're excited about, and it's something you want to be able to build a brand for yourself in. And then when it fails, which inevitably 80%, 70% will fail, and oftentimes it's worse than that, but it kind of sucks. It kind of leaves you hanging. It kind of leaves you feeling as if, you know, you've actually lost something that was worthwhile. So in my opinion, you know, I had to step outside of the view of being a pioneer, of being the first person in a market, and figure out what made the people who are already uber successful successful, and what made those markets successful. So my first real foray was in 2004, 2003, to having my own successful, uber successful niche site was in golf. And I mean, you guys have to agree, golf is like one of the most over, like just like, it's a pounded niche. The niche is ridiculously, what's the word I'm looking for?
Saturated.
Overwhelming. It's saturated, thank you. Hey, Richard, you look at this. This is why he's my student. He's always on the ball. All right, so my goal was to find a niche that I knew was going to be saturated, that I knew was going to, that was already making money. And I started writing down the elements that worked for me, that actually proved that a market was valuable. Now, if you guys are taking notes, and I encourage you to be doing so, I know that Richard is, because he often sends me notes from our conversations, and I'm like, dude, I did not want to remember I said that to you. So take some notes. Here's some of the core concepts I use. It's the 5-5-5-5, whatever number 5 that is, rule. And what I look for is, first, I want 5 competitors. I want 5 direct competitors in this market. And by that, I mean I want people who are in the market selling information. They're teaching something. If you have a parrot, you're in the parrot niche, for instance, using this this Frank Kern eating parrots and training parrots to talk niche idea, there are multiple people in that market teaching how to train your parrot, how to teach your parrot to talk, how to make your parrot do tricks, how to teach your parrot to dance. There are all these different people in that market, all that are making money. Now, there are some ways of finding out how they're making money or how much money they're making, and we're going to talk more about that later, probably in call 2 or call 3. We're going to go into depth about how I use competition theory to verify how much they're making. So you want 5 competitors, and this can flux if you have a competitor that's doing ridiculously well, that you can see where they're doing well and why. But you want competitors, you want a list, and you want a process map or a system for developing future products in that market. All right, so you don't want to go into a market with the expectation of having 1 product. You want to go into a market with the expectation of having 5, 10, 15 products. Again, I like reusing 5s. I like numbers. I'm a little OCD, and it works for me. So you can change your numbers around. The basis is still the same. You want 5 competitors. You want a list that you can use to promote your product. This means one of your competitors' lists, a forum that has a list of their attendees that talks to them or their members, site with just articles and that kind of thing where people register to gain access. You can find these, and we'll talk more about that later. Richard, write these things down so I don't forget to talk about
them. I'm writing them down. Just to clarify that when you say you need a list, you don't have to have a list of your own. You can leverage other
Correct.
People's lists, even if you're just starting out.
Absolutely. And I will tell you this, in every single market I am in, when I got into that market, I did not have a list myself. I oftentimes do not build lists myself in the market until after the second product. Because what I do is I leverage the other person's list, and it's like using other people's money in real estate. If you can leverage someone else's list, they already have a relationship. All right, for instance, if last week, last Saturday, you received an email from this guy named Eric Farewell talking about this teleseminar series that he'd been asked to do, you would have been pretty much sure, yeah, whatever. But because you received it from someone you trust already, you jumped aboard, you wanted to learn more, and it worked, right? That makes sense?
Makes sense to me.
Yes, I hear yes. Like, people are typing in yes right now in their heads. I can see it. So the goal is here to remember that you don't have to have your own list. So finding lists, we'll talk more about that. That's a pretty in-depth process, but I'll simplify it. I can explain it in 3 minutes, but I'll try to explain it in like 15 so you actually know what to do. And let me back up. 5 competitors, a list of 5,000 people or more. You can do it with less, but it's easier with at least 5,000 people because then you can actually have a very small launch, you know, conversion numbers-wise, and still make good money. You want to see competitors that are making at least 1 competitor making at least $5,000 a month. Now, we're going to talk about, again, about competition analysis, competition theory later, because the thing is, that is where it gets a little in-depth. A lot of what I know about how much money people are making comes from a lot of experience, being able to know where people end up on ClickBank, where people end up on Google, what they're paying per click, what they're paying out for affiliate commissions, how much the gravity really means that they're making, that kind of thing. So that's going to be some in-depth information, and hopefully I will lay it out in a way that you'll be able to understand it. I know that it's been working for Richard. He's been able to figure out some of this stuff, so I'll just try to repeat myself in the best way possible. So, again, for those of you taking notes, and because my own brain works best this way, backing up again, 5,000 bucks a month or more, 5,000 people on their list that you can use, on a list you can use in that market that has a relationship. So you got 4 times 5, you got 20 rules there or whatever. All right, so that's competition theory. That's the critical mass to actually making real money. But, and I'm going to take 3 seconds. Hang on. Let's see. 3 seconds. I had to go over here. I'm drinking some Martinelli sparkling apple cider right now, and I had to grab it off the ground. So, breaking past passions is probably even more important than finding competition, because finding competition is money in the bank, all right? But breaking past passions proves that you'll actually get to it. And what I mean by that is this. I have a lot of passions, all right? I am an avid surfer. I'm a cigar fan. I'm a pilot. I'm a motorcycle rider. I just skydive. I do crazy things. I've spent my life, you know, experiencing as much as possible. But what I discovered was that there was very little within my passion stream. And most speakers will tell you, most gurus will tell you, you know, follow your passions, create a, find a niche. But they're telling you that because they're selling you products that line their pockets. And I hate to, oh yeah, Jit tells me, is it Jeet or Jit? I have no idea, but he says I'm a professional photographer. That's true too. I do that. But, you know, some of the fact of the matter is these gurus are telling you to follow your passions because it goes hand in hand with their next product. Every single one I know that says follow their passions, follow your passions, you'll find money, is literally just creating an income stream for themselves, because the moment you follow your passions and fail, you end up with the unique ability to have to buy another product so that you'll feel good about yourself again, or so that you know that you have another chance, that you have a little bit more hope. Is that making sense to you guys? So, Richard, are you with me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Somebody said Sally's saying there's no sound, but can everybody else still hear okay?
Everybody else has got it, it sounds like. So, all right.
It makes too much sense.
Sliding back in. What's that?
Marilyn says it makes too much sense.
Too much sense. All right, I'm glad to hear it, Marilyn. That's awesome. Because the thing is, in all honesty, that is the secret to being a guru. In January, I'm going to do a shameless plug, because I will warn you guys, and you can ask Richard, I'm pretty much the most randomly honest person. I'll tell you exactly how I'm selling to you, why I'm selling to you, and what my goals are. In January, I have a Zero to Hero Guru Training Workshop with Kevin Nations and Simon Leung that basically was a plan to teach people how to become a guru really quickly. And the whole basis that I've completely forgotten my conversation here. I was going somewhere that was really impressive. Oh, that's messed up. Is to teach people how to get to escape past the idea of selling people hope and actually showing them the reality of how teaching and selling quality stuff works better. You know, stuff that Richard does, you know, stuff that I've done in the past. There's a lot more value in actually selling something that someone will actually use versus just make them feel better about themselves. So I don't know if that made any sense. I completely lost focus about halfway through it.
It makes sense to me. Don't worry. I'll do the checklist afterwards. I can make you look good.
Oh, thank you so much. All right. So breaking past passions. Yes, it is messed up. Everyone's with me. All right. John, thank you for laughing. I appreciate the laughter, dude. If you can walk away from this whole thing and have had a comedy session, you know, in 4 hours of calls, I will be freaking stoked. All right. Ways to break past passions. Here is the... You guys want like the step-by-step, like 30-second version of how to break past your passions and know you're going to make money? Yes. Excellent. All right, so this is good to hear, Kevin. Thank you, Pam. Actually, Les, we'll talk about how you monetize a passion in a bit, and that depends on how lucky you are, and we're going to talk about why that matters. But the biggest key in 30 seconds or less to breaking past passions is rewinding this recording when you get it 2.5 minutes past my random rant and listening to me again about competition theory. Because if you have those key points, those key fives, you will make money, period. That's how. It sometimes isn't fun. To give you a quick breakdown of what this means to me, I'm an avid surfer. I surf this morning. I love it. I have a blast. there is very little money to be made in the surfing world. I have a product coming out soon that I've got people probably working on right now on surf, what's the word I'm looking for? It's training, like how to become a better surfer, but not really how to become a better surfer. It's more of how to get a surfer's body. It's really what it is, what it comes down to. Because we look good. I'm not going to lie. So there's a little bit of money in that, but that's going more to the health niche. All right. So I'm lucky there. Professional photography is a great niche. We are doing some things there as well. I've done some pretty successful things in the past there. But when I get into airplanes, I get into that kind of thing, I had a website. It was a flight training, how to choose the right flight school for you book back in 2002 or 2003, and it sucked. I sold one copy at $7 with like 14,000 hits. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for actually, you know, finding a market that is valuable first. So Breaking Past Passions means running it like a business, all right? And it's not always the nicest thing to hear, but it's true, because in all honesty, you guys know this, and a lot of you, how many of you, I asked earlier, how many of you, is this your first time, how many of you have tried something or begun to try something and failed? Tell me that really quick. If you try something, begin to try something and fail at it, just say me or me too or yay, I did that or something. And don't say marriage. Come on. All right.
Okay, yeah. So there,
a lot of people have tried and failed. All right, good. Because this is probably the area I can talk to you most on. And again, obviously, this is going to be like this whole four trainings is going to be extremely conversational because it's kind of how I roll. And I know that Richard is going to be ridiculously prepared and teaching you in depth, but that's not me, so haha. If you've tried before and failed, you have motivation, and by now you should realize that you can run this like an internet marketing company where you work in your underwear and you have fun, and you'll never make a penny. Okay, now I do work in my underwear, or at least in board shorts, basically every day. I have a desk, I have the big monitors and that stuff. I use it maybe once a month to write copy at 4 o'clock in the morning when I absolutely have to get something done. But in all reality, I live that lifestyle without having a business like mine. But the decisions I make are based on business, not passion. You guys with me there? Business first, passion later. I'm in this business to make money. Now, I have my markets that I'm in to have fun because those, in all honesty, I have a blast. My photography business, it's a very profitable business, but it will never make me as much money as, you know, any of the stuff I do online just because it's impossible. You know, you shoot a wedding and you make, you know, 10, 20 grand, but you don't walk away with a real, you know, powerful income. So, hope that makes some sense. Michael's with me. He hears me. Good. All right. Before we go to the next one, anybody have any questions about what we've talked so far? I've been talking pretty much nonstop for 29 minutes, and my cigar has only been burned a half an inch, so I've got to catch my breath for a second. Anybody?
Any questions, feel free to put them in. And some of the questions that have been posted during, we'll get around to those later on as well at the end of the call.
Yeah, if you have any good questions, go ahead and fire them off at me, Richard. I actually wouldn't mind taking a break here.
Okay, so there's one. Marilyn says, are we looking for small amounts of competitors?
Absolutely not, Marilyn. You're looking for competition, period. And here's why. Because the key is you want to find markets that are profitable, and that's all that matters. Now, I'm not saying that you want to go up against, who's a powerful market? Oh, Double Your Dating, for instance, okay? Double Your Dating, you can't go in. It's a $20 million a year website, $20 million. If you haven't seen it, my buddy Evan has it, doubleyourdating.com. It basically teaches you how to be a jerk to girls, and they'll love you for it. It's apparently what they say. I don't completely agree, but whatever. So, that stated, you have a guy there who is dominating that market. Now, is there more money to be made in the dating space? Absolutely. I've launched products in that market, and it does make a lot of money. But the thing is, if I try to be, you know, tripleyourdating.com, you know, and create an idea that is completely knocking him off, I will make a small amount of money. Whereas if I go into that same market, the dating market, that is profitable, we know it's profitable because he's making $20 million a year and is open about it, and we say, okay, what is he doing that's unique? He says how to become it's how a nice guy should be can become mean to get laid. That's his whole pitch. So we say, how do you become Mr. Nice Guy to get a girl long term? That could be a good market. You know, how do you catch them first and then convert? Actually, you know what? It's not a bad idea to create a product in that market and try to get Evan to promote it. That would be something like the next step, something for his buyers. I'm sure he already has one of these, but you know, something where his buyers who have been buying WDating, testing these things out and seeing how the short-term relationships last and are maybe fun, but they really are pointless for long-term. Your unique niche within that could be the next step. How to develop a relationship that will last after you started off by being a jerk. Right? So ask Richard about that one. No, not really. to Les, he says, so forget about most passions. Honestly, yes and no. Again, this is about luck. Okay, and I say that in a funny way. I play a lot of poker, so to me it's luck. You are lucky if you have a passion that happens to be profitable. I had a client, my first ever, the only other calls I've ever done like this were in 2003 through 2004. It was a coaching group. People paid a lot more money than you paid to be a part of it, and we had 8 calls, and I talked about this, and one of my clients then had the passion for log cabins. And she was so lucky because log cabins is a great niche because you can go through all the old niche finding solutions. One, I'm sure you guys have probably heard of this, but if you haven't, I'll fill you in. Going to Barnes & Noble or the like and seeking to see if they have magazines on your niche, on your market, on your passion. And log cabins have like 15 different magazines, and there are tons of major burning issues. How do I save money? What's the best type of wood to use? What are some of the secrets to keeping the cold out and the warmth in? How should I develop the interior to still look rustic but modern? You know, there are all these major issues that create a great market. All right, Meshach, I will elaborate more on competition theory very soon. Les, you're right because all right, Marilyn, at least 5 competitors. That is my rule of thumb. Marilyn, 5 competitors is my rule of thumb. But here is the thing: there are markets where that's not the case. I actually just recommended a market. I can't share it with you to one of my private clients like Richard and my other one, I should say. But
because I didn't hear about it.
There's only 2. There's only 2 of you. But I recommend a market to him where there's only 1 direct competitor. There are 4 other somewhat competitors in the marketplace. But that site, his direct competitor is making around $28,000 to $35,000 a month. So I feel confident giving him a market that doesn't have quite as much trouble, you know. As much competition. I was reading John's question. John Hallett says, how do we market without spamming? I'm forever getting in trouble with places like MySpace and Facebook. John, there's a really crucial first element. Are you guys ready for this? This is very important. It's imperative, John. I need you to take a look at the palm of your right hand. Okay? I know it sounds silly. I know I can't even see you right now, but I want you to take a very careful look at the palm of your right hand. And this isn't anything weird. And I want you to take your right hand, I want you to pull it 2 feet away from your face. And then I want you to take a quick slapping motion to your face. And there you go. Just nice and easy. Nice and easy. There you go. Never spam, dude. Come on. You're following Richard here. You should know better. Seriously, MySpace and Facebook are about social marketing. How can you be social if you're spamming? Right, Rich?
Exactly. And just to let them know that over the course of the calls, I will be going into some detail for how you can actually market your website using legitimate traffic techniques, search engine optimization, using some paid traffic sources, all legitimate ways to drive traffic and actually build some momentum with your new business. So you don't really have to worry about places like MySpace and Facebook. They can bring you some traffic, but in general, I find that it's better to stay with the tried and trusted methods. Put the time and effort in to learn those, get them done right, and then the rewards will be much bigger in the long run.
Absolutely. And we can actually probably address some of the social networking side of things because I use it a lot. I use it extensively. My photography business is run completely off of social marketing, be it in person, through referrals, or online. We do very well through Facebook, but it's done in a way that is social first and marketing second. And the key to understanding this is to be genuine. And John, I don't know if you're an interesting guy, but I would assume that because you're a creation and you're a pretty cool guy because you're here, that you actually have some benefit and something that would be worth having a conversation for that someone might sit down and talk to you about for a few seconds or minutes. And that's the part you want to show first. Because if you, you know, for instance, and I don't know what anyone's political or spiritual leanings are here, but I'm very open with mine. So, you know, if you walk into a church and the first thing they do is hit you in the face and say, become a Christian, what do you say? What do you do? No. You know, or stop your sinning. It's instantaneous no if they don't show what's in it for them, what's in it for you first, right? Yes, Eric, we're with you. All right, so talk about social marketing first. Talk about how to be social and build a relationship first and foremost. That's the most paramount thing. And Les said, brought up something interesting here. Les is like my favorite commenter, dude. He's on it. It's back to find the right niche and then make that your passion. My biggest thing is this, Les. I actually don't believe in making a market your passion or niche your passion unless you're really passionate about it. And sometimes that comes with time. My passion is building a business that can sustain me to have the freedom and the lifestyle that I choose. I've been really blessed in being able to achieve that. So to me, markets, there are some markets I like better than others because they're really fun to write for. They're very fun to develop a relationship with, develop a character for. And there's some markets that just make me money and that I purposely do as little as I can in them and have my staff take care of it for me because it doesn't really make sense for me to put my heart and passion into it. So I don't know if that's weird. My passion is freedom. So that's pretty much where I go. All right. John Hallett says, ouch. John, we can be friends. All right. Les says, if I made a ton of money, I would become very passionate about it. You'd be surprised, man. When you make money, your passions shift a lot, but it's usually if you're constantly working to help people, it usually works out for you in the end. All right, Mr. Richard, I think we've exhausted the questions, and I tried breathing for a second. I made another half inch through the cigar. It's a good one, man. So give me the next slide.
All right, so going to kind of go a little bit more in-depth into each component. So the first one, niche marketing concepts. What really constitutes a niche?
Cool. I have a question for you guys. Do you get a terrible echo when you hear Richard talk? Because I have my speakers up. I don't know if it's bothering you guys. Tell me really quick. This is the first time I've tried using a webinar through my computer instead of doing it over the phone. Sweet. Man, we have like the perfect system here. Dude. Everyone's responsive. They're excited. I'm going to go back through this and make sure that I find out who didn't talk. And you're going to be booted. You're going to be off of here. So you better figure out a way to talk. There you go. All right, niche marketing concepts. What constitutes a niche or niche? Does niche have to mean small? Why niche markets are better than the internet marketing scene? And if somebody asked the question in the very beginning of the call, is the internet marketing market a bad market to get into? Unless you're the coolest guy ever, or you have the most unique story ever, or you have discovered an amazing way to make money, yeah, it's a terrible market to get into. I mean, I'm in the internet marketing scene a bit, and you know, you read a bit of my history on the sales letter. I have been online selling since before 98% of the gurus out there, but I've never wanted to be a guru because I chose to move away from markets where it was so just insane. There's just so many people trying to sell the same things. So many people are trying to move things and grow things. And just, it got to the point of being ridiculous. So I think niche markets are way better because your chances for success are higher. And in all honesty, it's a lot easier. When I do a launch, even some of the biggest launches I've done, you know, we see $3.7 million in 6 hours. You know, there's a lot of money out there in the internet marketing scene. But you have to be so freakishly clever. You have to create something that's a unique selling proposition every time, something that's not what everyone has seen already, something that is not, you know, just one more launch or just one more product. You know, when I work with someone, I have to make sure that their story is so different that they actually have value. All right, you guys with me on that? You understand what I'm saying? Whereas with niche marketing, I can throw up the biggest piece of crap website, copy letter, and offer that really means nothing in the internet marketing space. People will laugh at it, and it will work. And it will work, and it'll make me 20 grand, 30 grand the first day, and it'll keep making me 500 to 2 grand a month from that day forward, sometimes more, sometimes less. Right? So with niche markets, you don't have to be as clever. You don't have to work as hard, and you can actually expect to have more value long-term because, you know, it is, I'm getting questions here. If you're in the niche marketing scene, aren't you by default in internet marketing? Absolutely not, Les. You are an internet marketer, yes. But you're not by default selling to internet marketers. That's the terminology I'm using here. Hopefully that makes a little bit more sense. Michael, you're right. It is nuts, and it is awesome because I like things that are easy, and internet marketing doesn't have to be as complicated as people make it out to be. It is entertainingly complicated at times, but it doesn't have to be. All right. Marilyn, we're going to talk about outsourcing in one of these calls. Add that to the list, Richard, because she says her copy sucks, so this will work great. Okay. Outsourcing is the key to your long-term success in building a real business. All right? All right. Does niche have to mean small? We're going backwards, by the way. I hope you guys are comfortable with that. Sometimes I just don't go with the flow. All right. Niche does not have to mean small. We talked about the dating niche and how you can find a niche within a niche. One of my good friends and we used to work together on that. We worked together on a watch or two, and I've helped him. I've known him for years and years. Jermaine Griggs. You can find his website at www.hearandplay. That's HearAndPlay.com. And I will type that really quick. All right. So HearAndPlay.com. This is a website that is worth about $4 million, if I recall correctly, $3 or $4 million now. And it's teaching how to play piano.
Okay, Eric, you dropped out again. Okay, so while waiting for Eric to get back in, so Michael asks, is that the IMC dude? I think that's Derek Gell you're thinking of, and Corey Rudel. Jermaine Griggs, yeah, with Hear and Play. He also did the nittygrittymarketing.com, which I think his site that he launched sometime last year. That was his internet marketing product, but mainly he's in the music niche.
All right, so James, I will not be taking this knee breaks next time. I'll actually use my phone set to call in. I apologize. All right. Yeah, he was with IMC. He was one of Corey's students and a super sharp guy. Regardless, what I was trying to explain and work through here without losing my mind is simply that piano, and let's deal with music. Teaching music is going to be a monster niche, probably 100 million searches a month, ridiculous number of searches. Teaching piano or learning how to play piano, another massive niche. If you go to 43 things, that's number three, things.com, 43things.com. One of the top things is consistently up there in that big word bubble. It's another great way to find a niche because it's where people put their dreams and hopes and what they want to do with their lives is learning to play piano. You can also learn a language, learn Spanish, go to Europe. There's a lot of great, really broad markets. So learning to play piano is a big market. Now, he went further, and he said, how do you learn to play piano by ear? Now, that's a pretty good niche, but he said, okay, I'm going to niche it further. How do you learn to play gospel music by ear? Now, do you think that's a pretty small niche? I mean, there are only that many people that want to play gospel music, and there are only that many people that want to play, gospel music on a, by ear. So regardless, your niche doesn't have to be small. You make it small by choosing your products wisely. It's one to write down. Your niche does not have to be small. You make it small by choosing your products wisely. If I go into the dating niche and I offer a how to get more dates website with no hook, with no interest, with nothing that's appalling or new, do you think I will make much money? I'm shaking my head, but you can't see me. No. All right. You're not going to make much money in that kind of a market because you have to find a unique selling proposition. So, but the best way to do it, in my opinion, is to find a niche that's big enough to sustain you, but small enough for you to be a big fish. Okay? So, walking back again to the piano niche, obviously a $4 million business is going to be pretty darn profitable. And the ability to do that within a niche within a niche within a niche, he keeps drilling down deeper. And now he has more products, how to sing vocals, he has all these different products in that market. So I'm looking over here now again at this great list of things. Let's see here. What constitutes a niche? Let's see. What constitutes a niche? I think we've covered that. Do you guys think we've covered that? Do you understand what a niche is yet, or am I completely, talking out of my crazy brains? Hooray.
Yeah,
John Halleck.
Yep.
Hi, Pam. Kevin. All right, Daniel, everybody's got it. Everybody's got it. Petru, that's a cool name. Petru Crito, that's a cool name. All right. Next slide there, Mr. Richard. Or actually, you know what, Richard?
Yep.
Do you have any comments on this stuff? Can you give me a blow-by-blow of what we've talked about and make sure that I'm on the right track?
Yeah, so for Eric, I think actually there's an echo coming from my voice playing through your speakers being picked up again by your mic.
I turned it down.
Okay, cool. Is that better for everybody? So I noticed there's a slight echo as well. Okay, good. So one of the main points you mentioned that you don't have to work as smart or as hard when you choose a niche market, which I think is something very important. I've noticed I started in the internet marketing niche, and it is quite a difficult niche to break into, but you can obviously learn a lot from being in there, and then when you take those techniques...
Let me add one thing. Rich, really quick, I want to add one thing to this.
Okay.
Anytime you're in a market that's like internet marketing where you have a... you know, you're selling a business, you're selling hope. I personally find it extraordinarily offensive if you haven't already done it outside of the internet marketing niche. Now, Richard was really successful in the internet marketing niche. He did very well with affiliate promotions and that kind of thing, so I have a lot of respect for what he's done, which is why we're working together. But the majority of the gurus in this industry, when they first got started, they just started by being gurus. And in all honesty, that's why I'm here right now. That's why I'm talking to you. That's why I started speaking this year and stepping out and actually telling people what I've done, because I got disgusted by people trying to become experts with nothing that actually proved they'd done it. Now, Rich is one of the few that actually has done it outside the IM niche. I've done it, you know, in it, out it, et cetera. So I just want to go ahead and say that because if you're in a marketplace where you're selling a hope or a dream, you better have done it or have had that success or reporting on someone else who has, because you have to have legitimacy first. Otherwise, you're not helping anybody. You're just trying to make yourself rich. That's all.
And I think one way to get over that as well is you can leverage other people's efforts. If you can find somebody in a market who you can interview and kind of use their knowledge in a product and leverage yourself on that, and you build your reputation.
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about that in the product creation system. I actually, by the end of these four calls, you guys are going to have an exact step-by-step system that's the easiest method. I actually was interviewed recently for a product called 3K in 30 Days. It hasn't launched yet. Watch my Twitter for it to launch. I'll be promoting it. Richard was actually interviewed as well. And, you know, I gave away this system that literally, I said, it took me 26 minutes or 28 minutes to go through and explain exactly what you can do to create a product to any market and make it profitable. And I'll be going through that later, talking about using and leveraging other people. So, that's cool. Richard, sorry, I'm going to stop interrupting. Keep going, please.
No, I think that's kind of what I was trying to say, as well as if you are in internet marketing niche right now, I think you kind of have a distinct advantage when you do move out to other niches. For one thing that I found is a lot of different markets, they're not as technically versed in some of the things they need to do to market their products and their services, particularly with regards to things that I focus on, such as search engine optimization and building lists and working with other partners. So if you're in the internet marketing niche, it's not necessarily a bad thing to be in it. It can give you a good foundation. But like Eric said, you can then work less hard when you do go to those different niches. Okay, Eric, back to you. If you're still here.
It's weird when I hit mute and unmute because it keeps telling me unmuted, muted, muted, unmuted. It's an odd one. All right. You guys ready for the next slide? We've been going for 50 minutes straight and going pretty strong.
Yeah.
Are you guys getting value out of this, or should I go back to the very beginning and actually try to put together a proper presentation? Yes, yes, I agree. Come on, that's not answering. Are you getting value, yes or no? Come on, great stuff. All right, Pam. Thank you, Pam. You're the best.
Okay, good. Just so
all right, moving on.
So, finding ideas for niche markets.
Ooh, how to find niche markets. Man, this is stuff that could literally be a workshop, not a freaking 10-minute more conversation.
I want people to get their money worth, so extract everything I can out of you.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. All right, how to find niche markets, offline and online niches, products or services or both. Wow. All right, which one do you guys want to hear about first? I'm not going to do this without you. You got to answer this question for me. I don't know. Which one do you want first? One, two, or three?
Middle.
Middle. John, you're awesome. All right, everyone wants to know how to freaking find a niche. All right. I'm going to give you guys a small homework assignment. We're going to be talking again in about a week. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a homework assignment because I want you to at least have something to take with you that's actionable. And I'm actually going to have our friend Richard here take this apart and give you a step-by-step blueprint or action list. But I want you to write these things down as well as you can, because I know that my linear thinking doesn't really go well with communication. So finding niche markets, here are a few of the basic strategies. You already know that you're looking for competition that's online. Now, sometimes you can break forward and develop or find markets that are not online. I tell a story. I have to change his name now. He told me I had to change his name. But as an Irishman as well, well, Richard wishes he was Irish. He just lives there.
I'm British and proud of it, despite the crazy accent I have.
So I have an Irish friend, let's call him Sam, and Sam has made $500 million online. I kid you not, $500 million in the space of just over a year. Now, that's a lot of money, and as such, I'm actually kind of floored by that because I haven't done that yet. So he's very impressive, but his theology or his thinking is a lot different than mine, because my thinking is what will be profitable now. How can I figure out what takes the least resistance, the path of least resistance, the easiest way to create a passive income I don't have to work for long term, and how can I do it reliably where I know it's going to work and I'm not going to be throwing away my time? Now, I say when people are zigging, you zig with them, and you come up with something that's unique enough to make you stand out and make money. He says when people are zigging, you zag, you zig, you zag again, and you hope that eventually one of the 99,000 things you throw up there clicks, because if he gets 0.01%, that's another $100 million to heaven. That's fine. You guys follow? So until you've made $500 million online, in my opinion, you have absolutely no right to try to create markets, but to follow them is the key. All right? It's a little funky and fresh, and hopefully it makes sense to everybody. So finding niche markets. First off, don't zig whenever everyone else is zagging. Figure out what's working and create a unique model. Create something that's funny, something that's catchy, and something that's brandable. Because you can't be brandable as a real estate agent if you're on your business card in a suit and tie. Right? Now, if you're on your business card with a Viking helmet made out of a pizza box, riding a surfboard, and towing a house behind you, you're freakishly unique. I mean, people will love you. They're going to at least have to ask you more questions. You're going to get that first impact that actually has value. All right? So, finding a market, here are a few of the keys. I want you to go to Barnes & Noble. It's old school. It's simple. It's direct. All right. You know what? Actually, let's go for step one. Step one is sit down with a pad of paper. Legal pad is preferable in my book. I like a legal pad. I like it to be white just because the yellow ones all look the same. And when you get a white legal pad, you flip open to the very last page. Okay, one page left. You're going to flip that last page, you're looking at the cardboard. Now, the cardboard is your holy grail. Okay? This is your private space. This is the space that will last longer than the cheap pages, right? So, you're going to take the first page of the book, and you're going to start writing down niche ideas. Now, not just niche ideas, market ideas, but product ideas that would go within those niches and what makes them unique. You want to do this, you can do the entire thing in two lines each, okay? Niche, dating, market to double your dating ex-buyers or past buyers, product, how to deepen your relationship and switch from jerk to nice guy, all right? Now, when you have done this for page after page after page, and you've decided that, you know, I have like three or four that look pretty good. These all look okay. You can take the three or four. I put a star beside them on the outside edge. I put a little star beside the ones that I think look most profitable. Okay? From the most profitable ones, I then do what I call market analysis. I go in and I check to make sure that there are five competitors that are making $5,000 a month each or more, that there is, or at least one of them is, and that there is a list I can gain access to most likely of at least 5,000 people. Okay? Now, you can use search terms. You want to see What are the terms you look for now, Richard? How many times a month does it have to be searched? It used to be like 20 to 60,000 on Overture was good, but it's changing all the time now, and it really depends on the market.
Yeah, I find now that Google have released the exact search counts with the keyword tool, which is something that we'll cover again. I use Google quite primarily for looking, and one thing you can use with that is the traffic estimator for the actual number of clicks to an AdWords ad as well. So it gives you a real good gauge of kind of what kind of amount of traffic you're looking for. And depending on the market, I look for a primary keyword, anything around 50,000 a month for the primary keyword in that. Obviously, longer tail keywords are going to be slightly less, but 50,000 I find is a good indicator that there's a lot of interest in that market.
And what you mean by longer tail is that, you know, if you, looking back at the piano niche, piano would be the primary keyword, or learn to play piano would be the primary keyword. Learn to play piano by ear would be a longer tail. Learn to play gospel piano by ear would be the longer tail. It would be niching that keyword down further. You guys
exactly, journeying it down.
Okay, so now that you have your five markets, they're starred. You got those pretty little stars, right? And those little stars are telling you that, hey, this is a good market. This is a market I need to research further. Because you're going to probably have 20 or 30 ideas. And if you're lacking ideas, I encourage you to go to Barnes & Noble, because this is easy and it's really fun to go to Barnes & Noble because I'm a book addict. And besides, they have Starbucks, which is always handy because, you know, you can never have enough espresso. So you need to go to Starbucks and you need to, or not Starbucks, to Barnes & Noble and look at their magazine racks and look and see what has 2 to 3 magazines minimum. And what markets those are that might have major objections that you can solve, major problems. The health market's always good. It's hard to sell in. I avoid it, but it's a good market. Real estate, another good market that's hard to sell in. But great markets like log cabins, what are some of the other markets? I mean, golf is a great market. Baseball is a great market. Soccer is a great market. I love sports markets because sports markets, as a guy, they're the easiest thing in the world to write for because all I have to do is figure out, you know, what makes sense and what I would like to do, you know? So paintball is a great market. There are dozens. So if you're short on ideas, you know what we could do, Richard?
Yeah.
Your new project, by the way, guys, because I talk to Richard often, but I don't talk to him often enough, I guess, I will actually be giving him some pointers during these calls that would be going toward our normal time together. So I hope you guys are okay with that. Richard, your project today or tomorrow, create a blog post about finding niche markets and ask people to list some of the markets they're looking for, or that they think would be good markets that have potential. Because remember, competition is a good thing. You have competition, it proves the viability of a market. So don't worry about giving away your market. You don't have to give away exactly what product you'd sell or what your spin on it would be, but you can talk about the generalities of the market, playing piano by ear. You may not want to talk about, you know, playing piano or gospel piano by ear. You know, written by a black guy that happens to do this, this, and this, because that would be a little bit too, you know, in-depth. But you're welcome to give some generalities. So are you with me, Richard? Can you write that that greatness?
Yep, I'll get that out tomorrow.
All right,
Today
is not soon enough. Okay, so you guys can go to Richard's blog tomorrow, which will be Friday, and you'll find a fabulous post that will be written like a genius, and it will ask you to list some of your niche ideas. And chances are we'll probably pull a few of those next week for our competitive analysis call where we're talking specifically on how to find those niche markets. All right? Cool. Now, you back over here. Let's go back to the legal pad. You guys ready to go back to the legal pad? Is that all right with you? I'm going to jump way back here, way back to where we were. Legal padding up, and it's been an hour, so I hope it's okay. If you have to get off the phone, I understand. You have to get off the webinar. We good for it to go for a little bit longer, Richard? I want to get through all these.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And like I said, we'll have the recordings for everybody anyway, so if they can't make it, it's no problem.
Excellent. All right. So you have your legal pad in front of you. You have 5 items starred. You have 20 written down. You've now looked at those 5 markets, and you figured out that this one has absolutely nothing, no information being sold to it. That market gets the star crossed out. Now, it's still a decent market. It still has potential for the future, but you don't have the time, energy, or money to create the marketplace, okay? Chances are. Now, if you come to me and you're like, hey, I think it's a great market, and I'm like, holy crap, it's the best market I've ever heard of, or Richard's like, holy crap, that's the best market I've ever heard of, then we may actually help you through that. But initially, cross out your star, okay? Now, when you find that you have, say, three markets that are very good, I want you to go back to that holy grail, that last page of the legal pad, the cardboard backing, and I want you to write on that. Okay, I have boxes of backs of legal pads that I've gone through this process with, because that's where I write my good ideas. That's where I create a market, a product, and write down a one-liner. Now, once I have it on the back of LegalPad, I can start doing more research, put into mind maps. We could talk about mind mapping and how to, you know, use process maps and action maps to make sure things actually happen. But for now, a LegalPad, it costs you 60 cents. You can do this. All right? You guys follow this idea. You're going to start with a bunch of numbers. You're going to go down to the ones you think are the most profitable. You're going to research the top five most profitable, pull out two or three, and then put those in the back of the LegalPad. Then those two or three are going to go into further depth, which we'll talk more about how to do the market analysis through ClickBank, figure out what people are making, etc. Next week we'll do that. All right, don't need to forget Richard. Richard will talk about using Google's tools a bit more, because it's some really powerful stuff they just finally released. So groovy.
We had a question here. If you know how to find the top products on ClickBank, does that give you pointers for a niche, or is that too obvious for just general info products?
Actually, no. That is the most powerful tool I have for finding good niche markets. And I can go into intense depth, and we're low on time today because we kind of blazed through an hour ridiculously quickly. But in all honesty, ClickBank is where I've probably made the most money in my business, just because I can go on ClickBank when I'm bored and say, hey, this market has a gravity of 96. There are three other products with gravities over 20. The ranking system is by sales, so I can see, when I was in the top, because I've been in enough markets now that I can actually look and see a category, because ClickBank is separated into, I believe, 9 different categories. Might be 12. And I can tell you by the categories and the subcategories. I've been at the top of a bunch of the subcategories and near the top on a bunch of the main categories. And I can tell you, when I was at the top of X subcategory, that was making, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 grand a month. So I can see that when a market reaches that, or a product reaches that pinnacle in X subcategory, whether it be, like, for instance, the gaming category, we had a product that was doing about $40,000 a month on a $47 ebook in the gaming niche. And that was the number one product. Now, it's still doing pretty well, not quite that, and it's number five now, or something like that, last time I looked. All right, so going from number one, number five, it shows that the ones that beat it are doing ridiculously well. So why don't I go and pull from what they're doing and figure out how to use their markets and use their list and create competing products with them? You guys making sense of all this? I know it's getting a little complex really fast. All right.
Okay, we'll break it down anyways, and we'll have like a step-by-step action plan so you can follow.
Groovy. I'm. You know what, honestly, Richard, I think I'm just going to take this whole thing and I'm going to put package it together and, you know, charge $2,000 or $3,000 for this. Yeah. And Michael asked, and they would actually like that, right? In all honesty, Michael, your competitors oftentimes will not like it, but that's why they're competitors. You have to find a way to, when I speak from stage, I got some brownie points docked because I said ripping off your competition is what you should do. We do it in the offline world. My offline businesses, we all model each other. So I'm changing the word from rip off to model. You should be modeling your competitors to see what they're doing right. All right. Now, if you're in a position where you have, a product that can be similar, but not exactly competition, then you're in a perfect position for JVs to actually develop relationships that last. And that's really where I've made the majority of my income, is by finding JV partners. Because I'm not an SEO expert. I'm not an article marketing expert. I'm not a pay-per-click expert. I mean, I'm decent in all of those things, but I'm not great. So Kevin asks, do you join your competition's lists? We're going to talk more about this next week. Kevin, your competition is your new best friend, because they've already done all the work for you. That's it. Okay? You're going to join their lists. You're going to read their sales letter several times. You're going to buy their products. You're going to see what works. You're going to see if it's actually a good product. You're going to find out what the return rates are. You're going to figure out how their salesmanship works, what their upsells are, what their downsells are, what they're promoting in their autoresponders to buyers and to people that are just prospects. Okay, you're going to figure out what their free information is that they're giving away, how many comments they're getting on their blog posts. All right, all of these things. And Richard, I hope you're taking notes.
Yeah, right? I'm trying.
So you're going to find ways to do that. Now, Les says most of the top clickbait products are info products on how to make money using internet marketing. Wrong answer, Les. Yes, there are a lot of those, and there are tons of them. There are too many of them, and they do work. But we'll sit down and we'll go through some exact explanations. I'll actually open my screen up next week and or the following, and we'll go through ClickBank, and we'll find some good markets. Because when we walk away from this, there are 75 people that are part of this, and I applaud you all for being fast movers and people who take action, because this sold out ridiculously fast. I've never seen a product on a weekend sell out, and you guys rocked it. So thank you very much for being a part of this. All right. Offline and online, we can talk a lot more about that. There's a ton of money to be made now by incorporating the offline marketing into your online markets and using online marketing to offline markets. We've started taking a lot of my ebooks and putting them on DVD and shipping them, as well as using direct mail instead of just email marketing, because you know emails are getting as flooded as our mailboxes did back in the 80s. So it's a there's so much out there. I mean, this literally, you can ask Richard. The reason that Richard and I don't have a set schedule for when we're done working together is just too much out there to learn, and I've done too much of it now that I it's ridiculous. All right, Richard. Next one, my friend.
Next one? Okay. Competition theory. So I know you said you're going to speak a little more about this next week, but if we may just cover some of the key points. I think we probably covered some already.
Breaking to establish niches, determining profitability, market research, who are the market, what do they buy. Show me the next slide, Rich.
Breaking past questions.
Man, you actually had all these enumerated. I already covered all of them. I love this. We'll actually talk about this really quick. This is crucial again. What other marketers may have told you, again, is all about them making money. And that's what it all comes down to. And, yeah, there are some marketers out there who are going to tell you to follow your passions, but their goal is to, A, sell you something, and, B, they want you to find happiness within your business, which is a beautiful thing. But you're never going to find happiness in your business if you're not profitable. That's just all there is to it. I know people who are extremely happy working their butts off and not making anything. 98% of them are priests, and the other 2% are missionaries. So I don't really know that many people who love working hard without making money. So, all right, next one. Do you want a hobby or a business? Exactly that. It means what it says. Richard put these slides together and has pretty much said everything I would have said. So, cool. Is your passion profitable? If you're lucky. The previous slide?
Previous one? Yeah.
I'm going to finish this up so we don't go too long. Spying on the competition. Remembering that we have these basic elements you have to have, the five competitors, the five people that are profitable, etc. You actually have a really ridiculously interesting ability to come into a market and know it will be profitable first. And you're going to spy on the competition because, again, they've done all the work for you. All right, I'm repeating myself now, and I'm going to try to get through these quickly. Breaking into established niches. Again, established niche is great because it shows there's already a trend. If you can get in on a trend, you're in a good position. But you have to have something that is unique and brandable about what makes you worthy over the established guy. And there are easy ways to create your own establishment so that you actually look like the most profitable, the most legitimate business out there. And we're going to talk some about dominating niches and some of the stuff I've done in the past, because a lot of websites that are out there right now selling information products, quite honestly, their copy sucks, their product sucks, and their website sucks, but they're still making money. So what I've made a passion of my life lately doing is taking some of my older sites and spiffing them up, making them look amazing, bettering the copy, night and day better on the copy, and making even better products so that I really do stand out more. Plus, my stories of the characters that we create, the people that we have selling these things, are always quality. So breaking to established niches is easy as long as you remember that branding is the key. Determining profitability is something we'll talk about more next week or the following when we go through ClickBank, and I just show you, you know, some of the things you can expect, the kind of dollar amounts you'd expect. And I often am off on my dollar expectations, plus or minus 10, 20 grand a month. But when you're worrying about plus or minus 10 or 20 grand a month, is that really a problem? Because you're making money, regardless. Your whole goal here is to make an income. So if you're making an income, you're on the right path. All right. Michael Bailey, what do you guys think about reworking PLR material in your niche? What we can do, maybe we'll get my buddy Tony to get on a call with us. I don't know, maybe we'll have a bonus call. You never know. We'll see. He owes me a little favor, so... I'm actually doing a series with Tony soon, and Tony Leidig, if you want to know who that is, and he has a lot of information on PLR and public domain and stuff like that, so he can answer that question probably best. I don't use PLR material in my products, very rarely, but I use PLR material in my marketing and public domain material in my marketing extensively for SEO and for articles and blog posts and that kind of thing, because there's a lot of value there because it saves you from having to create. Market research, who the market, what do they buy? More importantly than that, who are the market and what is their biggest freaking problem right now? How can I solve it? And how do I make myself unique enough and brandable enough to step outside of what everyone else is thinking and what everyone else is doing? All right, that's it for me. what else do we have?
I think, yeah, after that slide is just questions. So basically we really want to know, what do you guys want to know from this? I mean, this is kind of just a brief overview of what we'll be covering. So we'll be digging deeper into how you do kind of the more step-by-step processes. So we want to know, what are your biggest questions and what do you want us to cover? So like I said, this is a very
small group. Yeah, absolutely. And that was the whole point of this, is I actually would really like for you guys to spend some time thinking over the next few days. And you're welcome to email Richard at the email address that you guys received your confirmation email from. You can leave me blog comments on my blog as well. I'm actually hopefully posting a new post today, but not about anything marketing related. You'll be able to, you know, at least give us some ideas for what you'd like us to cover most, because that to me is how this would be most beneficial. I'm not looking to toot my own horn or just, you know, spout random information. I'd rather answer questions and put you on the right path. That's what I do for Richard every week, and if I can do that for you, then we're pretty much golden. So let's ask if you can post the questions on your blog. I actually would encourage that. You know what? I almost think we can create a private blog, Richard, for this group.
Okay.
That we can post these questions. What, can you do that for me and then email them the link?
Yeah, I'll try and get that set up, kind of a password-protected blog.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be password protected, just a private link, because that way everyone can,
okay, yeah,
can post up answers to the questions. That'll be really rad.
Definitely.
I
could do that.
Michael, I will be going into competition theory in a lot more detail. Again, we're limited by time because I want to try to pack as much information as I can into this. But my goal is to give you at least a few actionable steps. Right now you have your action steps. Is everybody clear on what your action steps are? I'll have Richard repeat them. But, you know, you have action steps for this week, and then we'll go through a lot more in depth on some of these issues, and at the end of every call, you're going to be walking away with actionable plan steps you have to take, or I can just, you know, kick you out and laugh at you for not succeeding or something. I don't know. That sounds mean.
He's kidding, folks. Just in case you don't get a sense of humor.
I'm a little sarcastic, just a little bit. I don't know. I live in California. I have a funny life. All right. I like that we have homework to do. Without homework, we do not get started. We just jump from offer to offer. That's very, very true, Pedro. I cannot tell you how much I've seen that happen and how disgusted I am by it, because, honestly, you get overwhelmed. So that is an hour and 15 minutes. We have sufficiently over-delivered, I do believe. And if you guys disagree, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. No, I'm sorry. Richard, what I would love for you to do for me, Richard, if you don't mind, is if you can just go back through and kind of enumerate in a minute or so what the homework is. And if you leave anything out, I will jump in and jump all over you again.
Okay. So the first thing you want to do is get a white legal pad, go to the first page, and you can try and write out some niche ideas and some, what, you laughing at my pronunciation?
You actually wrote down white legal pad. See, this Richard is the man. I'm not going to lie to you guys. This guy, this is why he's successful, because he follows direction.
Yeah, don't go with the other ones. Eric doesn't like those. Okay, so you're going to write down some niche ideas and some potential product ideas, different things you can think of that may work in those markets. And try and come up with around 20 or so if you can. If you need to find niche ideas, go to somewhere like Barnes & Noble, look at different books, different magazines, see what people have interest in already. So try and come up with about 20 different ideas. Go through them and pick out 2 to 4 of ones that you think may be the most profitable ones. And then you kind of do some market analysis. It's just brief market analysis. Eric's going to go more into competition theory next week, but try and see if you can find at least 5 competitors in that market. And if you can find out if they are making money, good number is $5,000 a month and a potential list of around 5,000 or more. And again, if you know how to use Google AdWords and the keyword search tools, look for a good number is around 50,000 searches a month for a primary keyword. If you don't know how to do this yet, don't worry. I'll be covering some of the traffic stuff in a later module, so don't worry about that too much. But just try and come up with 2 to 4 good ideas for profitable products in different niches. Once you've got those, go to the last page of your white legal pad and then go in and write down those product ideas. And that's what we're going to start working on. Is that about it, Eric?
Hey. That actually sounds like an actionable plan that people can do. What the heck? What kind of gurus are we?
I know.
You know what, guys? I'm just kidding. I don't want you to take action on any of those things. But instead, I have a $4,000 upsell package that is crucial to your success. In fact, it'll be $4,000, your firstborn son, 10,000 gallons of fuel, and a box of cigars. I think that'll do it for me. Does that sound good, everybody?
Sounds good to me.
Man, that joke just bombed. Nobody even replied to that joke. That is just sad.
Put it on my tab, right, says Michael.
Right. I like it. All right, guys. With that, again, questions are open. I will make sure that you get a blog up tonight. I will probably set it up or have Richard set it up on one of our websites and get this cranking forward. And what we can do is hopefully by tonight, post up, we'll have just a basic question form because I'd love to see your questions, get your ideas. And then from there, start posting up your niche ideas. You can post them privately on our private blog or publicly if you want to get some ideas from people who are not members of this little special group. And this is going to be quite the experience, I think. I haven't done something like this in about 4 years. So, and Bruce, if you really want to know what kind of cigars to get me, you can ask me anytime. Personal email address. No, I'm just kidding. You can find my email on my website.
Okay, just to let everybody know that GetResponse, who is my autoresponder service, are a bit slow today. So if I send out an email, it may not get there. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up the blog on the site is nichedominationsecrets.com. So I'm just going to do it on .com/blog. So if that sounds good to everybody, you can go to that address later on when the blog's up and running.
It should be up in the hour or something, right?
Yeah, I can probably have it up within the hour.
Awesome. Cool deal, guys. Well, Richard, I appreciate you having me, man. This was entertaining. I made it halfway through a cigar. I drank some sparkling apple cider, and I ranted for an hour and 20 minutes. This is an end to a good day so far.
Yep, Eric, thanks so much for joining us, and I'm really looking forward to the next few calls.
All right, blessings to you guys. Thank you very much. Bruce, one more time, the address is nichedominationsecrets.com/blog. Once again, nichedominationsecrets.com/blog or private blog. I'm not sure which one Richard's going to use.
I'll just do blog. Like I said, it's not set up yet, and I will send out an email, but just in case GetResponse takes forever to send it out because they're really lagging behind today.
Awesome stuff, guys. Well, Pam, thank you very much for your time. Marilyn, Michael, John, Bruce, John, Pam, Jeet, Marilyn, Kevin, Michael, John. Man, some people talk to me more than others. Frank, Meshach, Kevin, everybody, thank you guys so much. Les, it was great having you. I'm excited about this, and seriously, thank you all very, very much.
Okay, so thanks, Eric. Thanks, everybody, for attending. And I'll get that blog up, and I'll work on the action plan, try and put this into kind of a PDF format for you to work through so that you have kind of a step-by-step guide. And then I'll keep you posted with more updates for next week's call. Okay, thanks very much. Thanks very much, everyone.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm.